May the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you, O Lord, my God, my Savior, my Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. It is great to be with you today as we celebrate a beautiful liturgical occasion. Today is the Feast of All Saints. Remembering those who have come before us and now are in that joyful abundance with God in heaven. And it's also an occasion of baptism. Our special family is here with godparents and those who love this precious child. We also had a baptism at our 8 o'clock service. So leave it to an eschatological feast day in the Episcopal Church to celebrate all those who've come before and have died, and also honoring our youngest, our newest members of the family. Because that's what we do on All Saints Day. That's what we do in baptism. We recognize the connecting of ourselves to the eternal kingdom of God. Our whole body, our whole spirit, our whole mind, what does that look like on this journey of the now, the past, and the future? Because what we've come to learn from all the saints who've come before, and what we've come to learn about the sacrament of baptism, is that becoming a child of God is pretty much the becoming of a new saint. You may be inspired by certain saints. You may have read about them or heard of legends from the Bible, some of which their names have been legally canonized, so we recognize them as saints, big capital S, of the church. But you know other saints, saints whose also legends have come to you, but you might know them by their nickname or a family name. But you've heard the stories passed from your ancestors, from your friends, and these are the people who, as they walked their faith, inspired your own. And if we get even closer to the center of how this All Saints and baptisms work together, we know that there are people among us, those who have not died yet. Their current time on this earthly planet inspire us. They will be the future saints because it's their steadfastness, their patience, people whose ability to show mercy, whose actions strive in justice, and whose charity inspires us to be stronger believers. You've heard the saints keep marching on. They do, through time, through location, through the Bible, through our history, through our community. But what's great for us is we don't have to march very far to be literally surrounded in stories of the saints. I want you to look around today. What I've come to learn in the history of Trinity is our beautiful liturgical sacred art of these stained glass windows that through our recent fixing of our roof, we've shined up the place and you can see these windows like you never could before. I want to tell you that I've learned by researching them lots of stories of not just saints of the Bible, but the saints of our Trinity and New Orleans community who were inspired to either honor someone with a window or they were honored by someone. I want to tell you a tiny bit and give you a little sneak peek. Many of you may have this book. It's called The Stained Glass of Trinity Episcopal Church New Orleans. And it was written by Jim Tice, you may know him, he's one of our fabulous choir singers, and Harriet Murrell, who, if you knew Harriet, you know stories of her sainthood. She was our first woman senior warden. I learned that earlier today. Also, one of the women who did the photographer is Virginia Horner. I'd like to give them credit for this. What I want to tell you is in learning about the stained glass in this window, I reminded myself about I was lucky and fortunate enough to experience a spiritual immersion going through Italy, through many churches, looking at the sacred art, the architecture, the sculptures, the stained glass, the iconography. And what's beautiful is today you don't have to take a trip to Rome or Florence to see that. We're surrounded by stories of the saints, and I want to highlight a few. And I encourage you, after church, look at these. Come early next week. Browse the church whenever we have this time before and after to let these stories speak to you. In the chapel and in the church, in our narthex, there are the saints, the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You also see St. Andrew's boat. And for all the children or those with children in the audience, go look for Noah's Ark. It's a great one. But inside this church, there's a few windows I want to point out the stories to. Windows that remind us that saints come in all ages. You can see here Jesus blessing the children. And the almost the last one over there, you see young Jesus in the temple when his parents couldn't find him in Jerusalem, about age 12, 13. It's here to remind us that our littlest and our teenagers are saints among us, where the Spirit is flowing through their lives. Did you know the youngest canonized saints were only 9 and 10 years old? We also have windows that tell us stories of the saints. Simeon, in the presentation, around, I believe it's right this window right here. Saint Simeon was later on in the sunset years of life, and he had been promised by God that he would not die until he saw the Messiah himself. And it's wonderful to know that even at any point in our lifespan, we can be called and see God manifest before our eyes, because that's what the saints do. They were people whose life stories manifested God to others. The window of Simeon was given in honor of one of our Trinity lowercase saints. Some of you may be familiar with Ambrose William Scarden. Similar to Simeon, he was advanced in years and had a call set on honoring, looking at the lives of the children important to God. He gave over 30 years to Trinity Sunday School, among other types of outreach he did. At the top of our balcony back there, I encourage you to check it out, it is St. Paul. Now, we know St. Paul is a fabulous preaching saint. But when I learned about this window, the story of the saints, lowercase s, that spoke to me was that who gave this window. In 1936, at a cost of $3,000 back then, it was donated by the Altar Guild. And if you have spent any time with people who are willing to make sure the table is set for your communion feast, that the linens are ready, the polish on the brass and silver and the candles are replaced. The Altar Guild are saints. I verify this. And there's lots of room for you to join them. There's a story, some of you may know this, it sounds like a very popular story of our Trinity history here in Jesus calming the storm. This window is dedicated to a vestryman in 1889, named John Henry McGinnis. He was 46 years old, and he died unexpectedly. while standing on a pier outside his summer home in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, he was watching a 4th of July celebration standing outside and was struck by lightning, died. And the strangeness of this is standing right next to him was the current Trinity rector, Dr. William Snively. In honor of this wonderful vestryman, the rector made sure that window was in his honor. The saints and the stories are among us. I've got two more quickly I'll tell you. If you walk through this, there's a stairwell between here and the chapel. There is a beautiful window of the saints' sisters, Mary and Martha. They are fabulous saints. Learn about them. They lived in a town of Bethany. But the beautiful story of the saints of that dedication is it was dedicated to a group of women called the Sisters of Bethany, who were Trinity women in 1853, who put together an orphanage to care for children whose parents had died, I believe it was yellow fever. They ran the orphanage for 60 years, and two were sisters. One was named Mary Fitch. These are stories of the saints. And my last one, I want to share with you because you may say, Annie, those saints sound perfect. I just don't think I'm ever going to be the vestry person, or I'm ever going to be running an orphanage, or I'm ever going to be able to dedicate 30 years to Sunday school. I want to tell you, if you look up here to the left, in the middle to the left, you will see a Roman centurion soldier holding a spear. This is Saint Longinus. His name is not in the Bible. His name was found through research of the time, and the legend and story that created his ability to be canonized, Saint Longinus, is he's the soldier who was part of crucifying Christ. He's the soldier who took the spear and pierced our Savior. And he is the soldier who afterwards recognized the divinity before him. It is never too late in our lives, no matter what we have done, for God to reveal God's self to us. And that is the beauty of St. Longinus's sainthood. The stories of saints are of all ages, of all times, of all places. They inspire people to want to do and seek what is true, noble, good, kind, gentle, and meek. And if those words sound familiar, it's the words of the Beatitudes that Jesus preached in our gospel today. They're inspired by the saints, the ones long ago and the ones who may be wiggling in the chair next to you or even nodding off in the chair next to you. So breathe in this sacred honor of knowing that not only are you surrounded by the communion of saints, but you are a part of it. The story includes you. Today, I offer gratitude to worship beside you and to share the gospel and to inspire your spirit. I encourage you to seek out the wisdom and bravery of the saints and join their stories. So take a moment in your worship today. Look around, soak up their stories, soak up the story that includes you. And I welcome you, and I welcome our newest to the beautiful mystical communion of all the saints. Amen.
Amen.